Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
Welcome to our Christmas services. It's great to have you with us. If you are a guest, awesome to have you visiting as well. How good is that we gave away an iPad to a little child? I think that little girl's Christmases have all come at once. Very, very cool. I'm wondering, what do you think of my outfit? Do you like it? Gee, that is an average response. I took one for the team, for you guys. Now, I had some people after the 9 a.m. say, Luke, I really enjoyed your message, but I couldn't take you seriously in that suit. So I'm going to give you permission. The only Sunday I'll give you permission to do this. If it helps you listen to the sermon, you can close your eyes. If that's going to help you lean in and grab a hold of all God's got for you, you can close your eyes. You don't have to look at me. But we're going to dive into the Word of God. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 9. But before we do that, we're going to pray. Why don't we give it up for our team before we pray for our band? Thank you. Looking sharp. Father, we thank you so much for the significance of this season. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for everything that he came to offer us, all the free gifts that he came to give to humanity. And Father, I ask that we would experience your heart today. We would see your heart. We would see Jesus more clearly, Lord, that this Sunday morning, right before Christmas, we wouldn't just go through the motions, Lord, but we would have an encounter with the risen Savior, Jesus. Father, would you give us eyes to see? Would you give us hearts to perceive what it means to know your Son, Jesus? Father, I pray that you would speak to every heart, every mind, every individual that is here today, every young person, every man or woman. Father, that every single one of us would receive from you this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 9. So here's Isaiah prophesying the Messiah that would come as a baby hundreds of years before Jesus actually arrived on the scene. And it continues to blow my mind that throughout the Old Testament, there is literally hundreds and hundreds of prophecies that point to Jesus that Jesus perfectly fulfills. If you want any evidence for the reality of God and for Jesus being who he said he is, all we need to do is read these prophecies. They're incredible. So Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." The title of my message this morning is Peace in Chaos. Peace in Chaos. I love Christmas time. It's an incredible season. We get to enjoy good food and catch up with family and friends, have some time off and receive good gifts. Well, most of us anyway, according to Sophie, not every child receives good gifts. But it's an incredible time, this festive season. But I would also contend that Christmas time is also a chaotic time. This week for Rara and I and our family, we actually moved house. We moved into a brand new rental at the beginning of this week. And everything that went along with moving house at this time of year was just hectic, to be honest. It was chaotic. On top of that, we've got friends visiting from overseas. We're trying to catch up with them. We're going to Christmas parties. I'm going on leave for a few weeks. I'm trying to get all the work done before we go away. And there was just so much going on this week. And if I'm to be honest, I spent much of this week going, I just feel overwhelmed right now. Like I feel the pressure of this chaotic season right now. And the truth is that this season can be overwhelming and it can be chaotic. And I found myself thinking to myself, I can't wait for some peace and quiet. I can't wait for everything to settle down. But how many people know life doesn't really settle down? I mean, you may have a few weeks off. Things might slow down for a few weeks. But we live in a fast-paced society, don't we? We live in an environment where there is so much going on. There's so many plates we've got to juggle. And I found myself this week asking the question, is it possible, while living in such a fast-paced society with so much going on, is it possible to actually experience internal peace? Not just to talk about it, but to actually walk in peace, to live in peace, to experience God's peace. I mean, it's something we all want, it's something we all need, but is this realistic in the society that we live in? Well, Jesus came to show us, part of the reason he came to earth and what Christmas is all about, Jesus came to show us that finding peace isn't about securing a certain set of circumstances, but peace is actually found in a person. And we, as we begin to unpack this, we see that Jesus came to show us that we can find peace in chaotic circumstances. We can find peace in times that are overwhelming. And if you think about the messy, chaotic circumstances that Jesus came into, it's mind-blowing. I mean, think about this. Mary miraculously conceives a child. And then you've got her husband, Joseph, kind of trying to grapple with the fact that his wife is pregnant, but they're not married and they haven't been intimate. And here's Joseph trying to get his head around this. And it says in the Bible that he was considering divorcing Mary quietly. So we've got that whole dynamic going on where Joseph's like, how is this woman pregnant? And then it comes time for Jesus to be born. And he isn't born into a nice, neat, comfortable maternity ward. He's born in an animal stable. He's born in a feeding trough. Like, it wasn't clean, it was messy. And then you go a step further. Once Jesus is born, King Herod, the insecure leader, he hears the prophecies and the rumors going around that a king has been born in Israel, in Jerusalem, and he becomes insecure and he's like, I've got to find this baby and I've got to kill this baby. Like, King Herod is jealous, he's freaking out, and he wants to kill baby Jesus. So as soon as Jesus is born, Rather than Mary having, you know, a month of postpartum kind of confinement and just kind of chilling out and bonding with her baby, this family is literally on the run. Joseph, Mary, and baby Jesus are on the run. They're heading to Egypt to get away from King Herod. Would you agree with me that Jesus was born into some chaotic circumstances? He was born into a messy moment. He was born in, it wasn't all neat and tidy, but there was so much going on at this time. And it's interesting that the very personification of peace, Jesus himself, arrived in the most chaotic circumstances. You see, God doesn't wait for everything to be neat and tidy before he gets to work in our lives. He doesn't wait for everything to line up, but the God we serve can work through the most chaotic times. He can work through circumstances that are challenging, that are messy. He works with broken people. He works with messy people, ordinary people like Joseph and Mary, you and I. God isn't looking for perfect people, but he can work among the chaos that we find ourselves in. That is the God that we serve. And peace isn't about an external set of circumstances, but an internal experience of the heart. It's about what's going on in the heart. And you may be here this morning and you may be looking around and seeing people celebrating this season and everyone's excited and everyone's looking forward to Christmas and gathering with family. And you look around and go, I'm really happy for them, but that's not where I'm at right now. Like, I mean, I'm already thinking about next year. I'm already anxious or overwhelmed about what next year holds. I'm already overwhelmed about work and finances. I'm already feeling the pressure of family dynamics and strained relationships and the burden of being a husband, a wife, a parent, all these things. That's where you may be today. And if that is you this morning, I want to encourage you that peace, internal peace, is not found in the perfect situation, but it's found in the perfect Savior. You see, our feelings a fickle. They change. Peace is not a feeling. It's not like we need to run around in life and kind of search here, there, and everywhere. Where can I find peace? Because peace is not an emotion or a feeling. It is a person, Jesus, who wants to be embraced. So as we come to Jesus and embrace Him, that's when we begin to encounter that internal peace in our lives. You see, the great thing about Jesus is He's consistent. Feelings come and go. Feelings change. We can be on cloud nine one moment, and then we can be down here another moment. Jesus doesn't leave us. He doesn't come and go, but He is constant. He is consistent. And that is the place that we can find security and comfort, knowing that although everything around us may change, come and go, Jesus remains the same, and He does not change. He is consistent. And if there's one thing our world desperately wants, if there's one thing our world desperately needs, it is peace. It is inner peace. We are literally living in the age of anxiety. More people are dealing with worry, concern, pressure, anxiety than ever before. This is the time that we find ourselves. And we see this in so many different areas. I mean, there is so many different platforms that are promising an experience of peace. There's so many books that are being written. There's seminars that are being run. There's different breathing techniques going on. There's meditation classes. Everyone is trying to find the solution to an anxious heart. And a lot of these things I've mentioned, they've got their place, and I'm not here to knock them. But here is the thing. The only person that can offer supernatural peace is Jesus Himself. I mean, there's all these natural forms of peace, yes, but it is Jesus that offers supernatural peace to you and I. And not long before Jesus was to leave to go to heaven, He was with His disciples having a conversation, and He spoke of the one thing that He would leave with them. He emphasized one thing above everything else that He would leave with planet Earth, with His disciples. In John 14, 27, He says, listen to this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I give it to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. It's not a worldly peace. It's a supernatural peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You see, many religious leaders, past, present, future, talk about peace, talk about how we can obtain peace, talk about all these different steps that we can take to somehow land at in a moment of experiencing peace. But the difference with Jesus is He doesn't say, go over there. He doesn't say, try this technique, take this step. But Jesus Himself says, I am the embodiment of peace. Come to Me and you will experience inner peace. He is the personification of peace Himself. It lives in Jesus. The supernatural peace Jesus offers is not just reserved for those on the mountaintop, but it is also available to those in the valley. How many people know the reality of life is most of life is lived in the valley? Most of life is lived out through challenging seasons and trials. And I love that Jesus comes to us in those moments and He offers us His peace. In our darkest hour, He makes it available to us. And in the natural, peace and chaos cannot coexist. It's a contradiction to say that you can be in peace and chaos at the same time. But the reality is that supernatural peace and inner peace can exist while everything around us is like a storm raging. Everything's out of control on the external, on the outside. But somehow, because of who God is, we can be in a quiet place where our souls and our hearts internally are experiencing overwhelming peace. You see, too often we allow our external circumstances to decide whether we will live with a peaceful or an anxious heart. But biblical peace says it's not just about what's happening around me, but it's about who lives in me. And that's a really important point. It's not just what's going on in your world on the external, but it's about who lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And just before Jesus went to be in heaven, He said to the disciples, it is for your benefit that I go. Jesus, what? How is it to our benefit that you go? We need you. He says, unless I go, you'll not receive the Holy Spirit, the Helper. You see, Jesus never ever promised an easy life. If you've been told, if you've heard a preacher say, come to Jesus and everything will be easy and it'll be straightforward and life will be problem-free, that's not reality. That's not what Jesus has promised. But the one thing Jesus did promise us is that he would send the helper. And you and I, if we've received Jesus, we have the helper living in us. And what that means is we have God himself, Emmanuel, God with us, literally living in us. God lives in us. God goes with us. So as we move into 2020, know that God is going to go with you. As you move into 2020 and navigate challenging circumstances at work or relationally, God goes with you. As you build a healthy marriage and parent your kids, God goes with you. As you face financial challenges and health challenges, God goes with you. As I said before, he doesn't come and go, but he constantly lives within us. That is the promise of Christmas, that God came to be with us and he literally lives in us by his Holy Spirit. That is good news this morning. You see, we don't serve a God who tells us to pull up our socks, to work our problems out, to pretend that everything is okay. God isn't a God that says, hey, you kind of get it all worked out and then I'll come and join you. But we serve a God who says, hey, you've got mess in your life, you've got challenges, you've got things going on. Okay, that's where I want to be. In your darkest hour, I want to be there. There's brokenness in your life. Let me come in to that brokenness. That's what the gospel is about. The gospel isn't about perfect people earning the love and favor of God, but it's about imperfect, broken people opening their lives and saying, God, I need you. And in a moment of time, he steps in. And he brings his grace, his love, his peace, his joy. All these gifts that only Jesus can truly offer. We had a very interesting week moving house this week. So we moved on the Monday, and it would have been the Thursday night. Ra said to me, hey, do you know where the bag of gifts are? Like all those presents that I've been shopping to get over the past month or so. Like, do you know where they are? I'm like, no, I wouldn't have a clue. I haven't seen them anywhere. And at this point, we had unpacked most of the house. So I'm getting a bit nervous. I'm like, okay, where are these gifts? And Ra's like, well, you chucked out all those boxes and all those bags. Like, were the gifts, do you think, in those bags? And I'm playing it cool, but I'm getting really nervous at this point. I'm like, if I've chucked out all those gifts, all the shopping gifts that Raz worked hard to get over the last month, I am in big trouble here. So I'm playing it cool. And then we begin looking around the house, can't see anything. And then I go out to the garage where I thought they would be. They weren't there. And now I'm starting to get really nervous. I'm not showing it, but I'm freaking out. I'm like, I'm going to be in all sorts here. This isn't going to be a happy Christmas. And we keep looking around and couldn't find them anywhere. So at this point, I'm starting to think about, okay, where did I throw the rubbish out? Okay, where did I put those boxes? And I'm thinking about, okay, I threw one box into that dumpster in Richmond, this box in Mitcham. And I'm literally thinking through waking up at the crack of dawn, driving out to these dumpsters and getting in there and trying to find these gifts. I'm thinking about the hard rubbish collection. When is that coming? Like, I'm trying to think through, how do I get these gifts back? I'm freaking out. So I go to bed and trying to sleep wasn't good because I'm thinking I've spoiled Christmas for our whole family. And it was a tough night. And then the next day, I wake up after a tough night's sleep and I'm talking to Ra. I'm like, you know, I'm going to go and look for the gifts today. Don't worry. And she's like, oh, it's all good. I found the gifts last night when you went to sleep. You could have told me before I went to sleep. And the interesting thing about this moment was we were frantically searching for something that we hadn't really lost. And the interesting thing is, I hear a lot of Christians talk about the fact that they've lost their peace, or they've lost this, lost that. But the reality is this morning that peace, because it's not an emotion or a feeling, but peace is a person, Jesus, we can't actually lose our peace. That what we do lose is an awareness of the fact that Christ is living in us, that peace is living in us. So there's these moments where we're like, I'm going without, I've lost my peace, but it's not a possession problem because Jesus is in us. We possess his peace, but it's an awareness problem. Sometimes we just need to say, Holy Spirit, would you make me more aware of what I already have? We don't lose Jesus. It's not like you know, we go through a challenging season or do the wrong thing and Jesus leaves us. We do not lose our peace, but we can lose our awareness of the fact that He lives in us. And in those moments, we just need to say, Holy Spirit, would you remind me that you are in me? Would you remind me of what you're wanting to do in my life? Let's not search for something we haven't lost, but let's ask God to increase our awareness of the gifts that He has freely given to us. His grace, His joy, His forgiveness, His peace, they are all ours. Where does this life of peace begin? Where does it all start? The interesting thing is, it does not start with you and I. This whole connection with God, we don't initiate it. But what we're celebrating over the next few days, Christmas, is the fact that God is the initiator. That God took the first step towards us. That God saw humanity. He saw us in our brokenness and our sinfulness. And He said, I'm not going to leave them as is, but I want to be with them. As we sang before, we couldn't get to heaven. So He brought heaven to us, to earth. And He came, He sent Jesus. Jesus died upon that cross, an object of torture. He took our sin upon Himself, and then He rose again. And the fascinating thing to me is that He who knew no sin became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. You see, what Jesus did is He made a way for us to have peace with our Creator, for our hearts to have peace with our Creator. So today, we can be eternally, forever accepted, embraced, and loved by our Creator, by our Father, because there's no longer this wall, this separation, this void of sin that separates us, but we have perfect harmony and peace with God. Do you know the greatest thing about the gospel? You don't have to question whether God loves you ever again. You don't have to question whether God likes you ever again, whether He is committed to you, whether He has a future for you, because it has been proven once and for all by the fact that He chose, He freely chose to come to earth and go to that cross on our behalf. God initiated through Jesus, and we now have peace with God for all of eternity because of what He has done. Now, we need to be real this morning and ask the question, okay, if Jesus came and He offered peace, and, you know, we're talking about this peace that we can experience in our lives, why is it that so many of us Christians go through times of intense worry, pressure, burden, anxiety in our lives? Like, we all deal with it, right, at different points in our lives. Why does this go on? We need to be real this morning. And I believe that one of the reasons is that the human heart has always struggled with the uncertainty of life. We struggle with the uncertain nature of life. We like to know how everything's going to turn out. We like to know what the future looks like. We like to know how this is all going to come together. But the reality is, there's moments in our lives where we realize how out of control life is, how little control we have over life. And we can freak out in those moments where we're going, okay, I don't know what the future looks like, and I don't like that. I want to be in charge. I want to dictate the direction of my life. But here's the thing. We need to focus less on where we're going and more on who goes with us. We're so fixed on where am I going, where am I headed, but God says it's not just about working out where you're going, but it's about the fact that I go with you, I go before you, that I am working in you. And you think about Jesus' encounter with the disciples. I love Jesus. He rocks up. He's like, Peter, James, John, come follow me. Doesn't give them all the details. Doesn't tell them where they'll be in a month's time. Doesn't tell them where they'll be sleeping. But these dudes are nuts because they literally start following Jesus. They've got no idea what the future holds. But the one thing that they do know is who goes with them. It was Jesus going with them and before them, and that's why they had the confidence to move. And as we move into a new year, as we move into a new season, as a church, as you move into a new season, as an individual, know that Jesus goes before you, that He goes before you. And one of the things that I can guarantee you is this: if you're a follower of Jesus, life will not feel comfortable. Life will not feel safe all the time. It's not like, oh, you know, it's so cushy and cozy following Jesus. If you follow Jesus, God will call you out of your comfort zone. He'll call you to take steps of faith. But here's the other thing I can guarantee you. Jesus will always go before you. God is around you. He is behind you. He is ahead of you. He is in you. And that's where we can take comfort, knowing that God is in us and God goes before us as we step into the unknown. The other reason I think we struggle with these feelings of pressure and worry and concern is that we can buy into the value system of this world. We can easily take our cues from this world's value system. And as the worship team joins me, Isaiah 9:7 says, "Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. Hear this, he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it." You see, Jesus came to bring about an alternative kingdom. There's the kingdom of this world, and then there's the kingdom of Jesus. There's God's kingdom. And I think sometimes part of the reason that we deal with this concern and this worry and this pressure is we look at the world's value system. We look at how the world measures success. We look at how the world measures significance. And we take our cues from that value system. So all of a sudden, we see the world valuing things like title and position and popularity and Instagram followers and wealth and earthly success and all these things. And we can buy into the lie that those things will give us a sense of value and significance. But the most liberating news I can give you is there's another kingdom, and that kingdom has a completely different set of values. And God hasn't called us to be concerned about all those things that the kingdom of this world is concerned about, wealth and this and that, but God has called us to be concerned with what he's concerned about. He's called us to a completely different value system, to live with humility, to live with grace, to be selfless, to live an obedient life, to live with faith. These are the things, to live a life of eternal significance. These are the things that matter to Jesus. And if I'm to be completely honest this morning, I fall into that trap as well, where I see people around me, friends and family, living for certain things and valuing certain things. And I'm like, hey, if that's important to them, if that's how they measure success and significance, then I need to, you know, make sure I'm buying into that, and I need to make sure that my life is impressive. But God has not called us to impress the world. He's not called us to fulfill the expectations of other people. He's called us to live according to his kingdom and his values. And you know what the beautiful thing is about that? When you come to a place where you just say, God, next year, 2020, I'm going to choose to care about what you care about. I'm not going to buy into the emptiness of the kingdom of this world, to that value system. I'm going to shake that off. And I'm going to live for what you want me to live for. And as we step into that space, all of a sudden, some of the pressure we put on ourselves, it begins to fall away. And we begin to feel lighter, because all of a sudden, we don't have all these competing expectations, but we just have the call of God on our lives to fulfill. I think one of the other reasons we can deal with this pressure and worry and concern, and it can burden us and weigh us down, is I don't know about you, but I can so easily try to independently carry or shoulder the burdens of this life. Often when I'm going through stuff and there's pressure and that, I withdraw from relationships. I can even withdraw from God. And it's like, okay, I'm going to go and fix this situation. I'm going to make sure everything's okay. And then when that's in place, and I'll come back and start connecting again. But the reality is, God hasn't called us to carry our burdens on our own. See, none of us are strong enough. None of us have broad enough shoulders to carry the burdens and the challenges that we'll encounter in this life. But I love what Peter says. He says, cast all your anxiety, not some of it. Cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. God cares for you. God cares for you. Jesus says, come to me. Not do for me, but he says, come to me. Come to me, all who are burdened, who are carrying weight, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. One of the greatest things we can celebrate this Christmas is that we can freely come to Him. We can come to Jesus. We can come to the Father. We have been granted access because of the cross. We can come to Him at any time. And when we come to Jesus, we're not going to find a whole list of do's and don'ts that burden us again, that make us feel overwhelmed. But when we come to Jesus, we find a liberator. When we come to Jesus, we find someone that wants to love on us, that wants to give us His grace, His forgiveness, His joy. Jesus has come bearing gifts, and those gifts are free. Nothing's free in this life. Nah. But the gifts of Jesus are free. They are free and they are available to you today. So this Christmas, He wouldn't say, come and do more for me, but He would say, come to me. Come to me and let me shoulder that weight. Let me shoulder that burden. Let me live in you and go with you. So
thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, newma.church. Thank you for listening.